84.2% of Latin America and the Caribbean are spiritually lost and don't know Jesus. Through our faithfulness to missions giving, as of 2018, 516 missionaries are in the region serving at 207,910 AG churches.
Give God praise for that. Come on now, just each one.
AG's 2018 statistics state that 93.7% of Northern Asia is spiritually lost. There are 467 unreached people groups and 1,302,784,000 people who do not know Jesus.
Help us, come on, let's help us. Help us, thank God we have missionaries. Give God praise, we got missionaries.
Isabel Kuhn, missionary to China, stated, I quote, "I believe that in each generation, God has called enough men and women to evangelize all the yet unreached tribes of the earth. It is not God who doesn't call. It is man who does not respond."
My Lord, help us.
Did you know that 82.2% of Africa is spiritually lost? Or that 95.1% of people are spiritually lost in the Asia-Pacific region?
Did you know that Eurasia is the most spiritually lost region, with 99.6% of its population living without the hope of Jesus? 99.6%. What can we do, Lord?
Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 14 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher?"
Did you know within the Assemblies of God, there is a new believer every 37 seconds?
Come on, somebody give God praise every 37 seconds.
Did you know that we currently have 1,868 Assemblies of God missionaries and 879 missionary associates serving around the world today?
Give God praise for the missionaries and missionaries.
Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "Therefore go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and in the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Somebody help me give the Lord praise and help me appreciate all of these.
Hallelujah. And in Spanish, brother,
amen,
says this, "Y por todo el mundo y predicar el evangelio a toda criatura. El que creyere y fuere bautizado será salvo. Y enséñales que guarden todas estas cosas que os mandé, y he aquí yo estoy con vosotros todos los días de vuestra vida."
Come on, give the Lord praise for the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth, give God praise. Come on, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Miss Chrissy. Thank you, Miss Amber. Thank you so much. Did you know? Since 1914, when the Assemblies of God was established, they were established for three reasons. Number one, to worship the Lord. How many know we already did that this morning? We are still doing that. If you're still worshiping the Lord, wave at me. God likes a little action. There you are. That's the purpose of us coming together. We are worshipers. I said, we are. And one of our key values is worship, right? And then we also are called, that second purpose of the Assemblies of God was to make disciples, discipleship, to edify the body of Christ, to make disciples. That was the second purpose of the Assemblies of God back in 1914. And this morning we had discipleship. Today we will teach you about missions and talk to you about discipleship. And we're here to make disciples to the ends of the earth. Amen? And then the third reason the Assemblies of God got together, and they made this statement, 300 pastors in Hot Springs, Arkansas in 1914 said that we are coming together and we're going to believe God for the greatest evangelism the world has ever known. 300 people, all of these many years later, 104 is it now? Now we have 68 million adherents in the Assemblies of God. But you help me give God praise. They are on their way. What an incredible, incredible. And just a couple of years ago, we added a fourth purpose of the Assemblies of God, and that is to have compassion, to reach and reach into the world with compassion ministries such as Convoy of Hope and healthcare ministries and all kinds of other ministries such as that. And I'm thankful. Listen. We're not here to celebrate just the Assemblies of God. We're here to worship the God of the Assemblies. Amen. But it's incredible that in just 100 years or so, we have seen such incredible things happening around the world. And you see the flags, they cannot represent all the nations of the world enough. They can't. But our goal is that every tribe and every nation, every ethos, every ethnicity, every people group, every language group. My goodness, that is a lot of people. There are 7 billion people on the planet, and more than half have never received Christ as Lord and Savior. More than half. So we got a lot of job. We got lots of work to do. There's a big job, right? It's not impossible. What is impossibly, what seems impossible to man, I mean, oh, it's possible with God. And I'm thankful that you get it. You get it. If you're new to Oak Grove, you got to know we are very passionate about worship. We're passionate about prayer. We're passionate about evangelism. You'll see next Sunday, we're going to get on that parking lot and we are going to evangelize our little eyeballs out. How many plan on helping me? Yes, there you go, there you go. And then we're very passionate about discipleship. And we don't want to just win them. We want to reach them. Yes, of course, we want to win them. But we want to build them up and send them out. So we're crazy about missions. Crazy, crazy, crazy about missions. And in the last year or so, we've sent 5 missionary units, families, units, because Justin is going, you know, he's single, but he's a unit. He's going to Japan. He starts his itineration in January. And hey, you know, no telling what you can find in Japan over there, Justin. It might be more than a mission, brother. It could be a mate. And so we have sent 5 families. But that's just our folks. That's just our folks. Because if you walk down the mission hallway, you'll see 60 or so missionaries. And that's just the ones we have pictures of. There's ministries that we have, such as Special Forces. I mean, appreciate our Special Forces ministries. We were together with the boys this weekend at men's retreat. How powerful was that? And we had some great times. And I got to tell a story. Me and Chrissy decided we were going to make a challenge to each other. And I stopped eating sweets and drinking Cokes. But it's men's retreat, right? Somebody say, God shows up at men's retreat. And you can't go to the campground without thinking about stopping at the snack shop for that soft serve ice cream. And Chrissy did for the women's retreat, but I was going to be loyal. But I had a weak moment. I thought Chrissy will never know. But one of the guys took a picture of me with the ice cream cone and sent it to Chrissy, to which she called and replied and said, Pastor, Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing, Dad? I said, I'm having a great time. I'm having a great time. Well, are you eating good? Oh, yes, I'm eating really good. It's good food, good fellowship, good fun. What else are you eating, Dad? I said, did somebody text you a picture of me with an ice cream cone? Because it sounds like either the Holy Ghost told you or somebody's snitching on me. Thank you, Mason Forrester. You better be in the nursery because I'm going to get you back wherever you are, boy. Anyway, by the end of this world, the gospel will go out to all the people groups, every tribe, every nation. That's our theme this year. And it's not been preached to every tribe yet, so we're getting close. How many thinks we're getting close? Does anybody here believe the Lord's coming soon? I mean, we are in the last of the last days. This is the end. This is the end. And it ought to motivate us. We used to preach that the Lord's coming was imminent, soon. We used to preach it. We felt like he was coming before the service was over. I mean, we need to get back to that message of a soon coming king who we will be accountable for and to, and who we will be answering to, right? And also, we better get busy because if the Lord's coming soon, we better get busy, right? And so that's the beauty of the message of the cross and the soon coming of the Lord. And so, Revelation 5:9, I think there's a whole bunch of scriptures, but let's see what you have up there first, Megan. We'll go through a bunch of scriptures today. Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you, Jesus, to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain." Next verse, let's get to the end of the every tribe, every nation. Next verse. Is it there? Let me read it in my Bible. Let me go to my Bible and read it. And verse 9, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open to its seals because you were slain with your blood. You purchased men from God. From every tribe." So it was just half the verse. "But from every tribe and language and people and nation." How many know the blood of Jesus wasn't just for a select group of people in America? And as the Lord comes, Jesus is able to take the scroll. Everybody's name who's in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be saved. If you're coming to Oak Grove this morning and you're away from God, or you're not certain, absolutely certain, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, how many know, if I were you, I would not hesitate another second. I would get myself into the kingdom of God. And if you're in the kingdom of God, the challenge goes to you. It's missions convention time. Oak Grove will not rest until every nation and every tribe is heard. We have a lot of work to do. And so I think that's kind of what is holding back the Lord's return, right? Here in our text, we find the one possibility. The gospel has not been preached to every tribe yet. And though we're getting very close, and even in the tribulation, you know, we're coming up to the end. We're in the last chapter of Revelation on Wednesday nights, chapter 22. We're in heaven now. But we spent the many months in the tribulation period. And we know that in the tribulation period, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists during the tribulation who reach some of every tribe for sure if we don't know of it now. If it doesn't happen before the rapture, how many know it's going to happen before the great white throne? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Does anybody believe God wants to save them more than we want them to be saved? Of course, he gave his own son. That everybody has a chance, at least a chance. And during the tribulation, the angel is going to fly through the middle of heaven, and he's going to evangelize and preach. So the 144,000 are going to witness. The angel is going to preach to every tribe. You remember when Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall preach in all the world, and then the end shall come." Remember that? Well, and when we were teaching in Revelation, it just struck me because I thought it was just our job, and it is. How many thinks it's the church's job to reach the world? It is. But even if we don't do so well, I think we'll do well. I hope we do well. I think we're doing okay. Amen? But there's so much more we could do. But if anybody gets left out, if there's a corner of the world that didn't get reached, how many know the Lord is going to take care of it? And everyone throughout the whole world will hear the gospel preached in that moment and have to make the decision to receive the Lord or else, right? And so all from the beginning, all kinds of missionary agencies are sending people to the ends of the earth, forgotten peoples around the world, to the darkest, most remote jungles of the earth, fulfilling the Great Commission to the uttermost parts of the earth. And these scriptures that were read, these stats that were read, they're real. And you can go online to Oak Grove, Assemblies of God, AG.org, and to the AGWM Missions Department. You can get all these stats. It's all there. And hopefully next week and this week, we'll get you educated some more in missions so you can understand it's a great task ahead. But we don't often think about people in these remote parts of the world. But our AG missionaries are doing that. They're going off, cut off completely from the rest of the world. They're going to places you couldn't even imagine. And thank God for ministries such as Speed the Light, you know. Well, I remember buying Speed the Light camels. We bought oxen from BGMC. We bought oxes. We purchased bikes. We purchased motorbikes. We purchased boats and mud boats. And we purchased trucks and jeeps and donkeys. I mean, whatever we have to do to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, could you help me appreciate BGMC, Speed the Light, Life of the Lost, all the ministry agencies, missions agencies that help us get our missionaries where they need to go. puddle jumper planes land on a small dirt strip. We're not there yet. We're still taking canoes. We're still not there. We take a canoe after we land. You know, we went to Africa back in May. Was it April, May we went to Africa? I thought we were there, but we got on the continent, but how many know we weren't there yet? We got a little 12-passenger little plane, blah, 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 and we landed in the Maasai area, and then we took a jeep, you know, up a mountain, and then we got to the Maasai. I mean, just when you think you're there, you still got long ways to go. Every tribe, every nation. And those Maasai people began to worship the Lord and leap. And I mean, let me tell you, they can jump and they can worship. I didn't understand a thing they were saying unless they were praying in the Spirit. I mean, when we get together in heaven, there'll only be one language. There will only be one people. Come on now, God's people. Only one God, one people, one nation. Amen? And so you're still not there yet. I mean, these missionaries, you got to give it to them. They go where there's no power, no communication, and no Dr. Pepper. I mean, I'm struggling in America. Can you imagine? I remember Rodney Tilley. He was a missionary. Carol was serving with Rodney in Albania. But he's going back to Cyprus, I hear. But when he was in Cyprus the first time, he and his wife, Judy, they packed up a suitcase of Payday. Was it Payday candy bars? Some kind of Snickers, something like that. He put a whole bunch of candy bars because he was, I guess, that's what he survived on. Milky Way. It was Milky Way. At work, rest, or play, our missionary endeavors. How many know Milky Way? And he survived on Milky Ways in Cyprus. Got kicked out of Cyprus. Got kicked out of Albania. Got kicked out of everywhere. Rodney's a rebel, right? Everywhere he goes. God bless you, Rodney, online. So I want you to see this because God cares about every tribe. And I just tell you, there's a bunch of scriptures that they started to put up their Old Testament promises. Thank you, Megan. I'm ready to go. And that was a long introduction, but I'm having a good time. And welcome to the team. One more time. Welcome, Megan, up there. So glad to have you. Old Testament promises, Psalm 22, 27 and 28. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. We're looking at the priority of missions in the mind of God, all the world. And then the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among all nations, verse 28. And then the Old Testament prayers, there's prayers. Let the people praise thee, O God, Psalm 67:3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then their Old Testament commands, Psalm 96:3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. So the Lord's declaring his glory in all the earth. How many know all the earth shall see the glory of the Lord? And I can imagine that angel flying about midway through Revelation during the tribulation, declaring to the whole world the glory of God. This is what's happening. Then there's the commands of the Old Testament, God's commands. He says this. In Psalm 96:3, declare his glory among... Oh, we already did that. And then there are the New Testament. We have some Matthew 28. We already read that earlier. We don't have to go there again. And then the Apostle Paul has a dedication to missions. We read Romans already as well. But I want you to fast forward. I want you to fast forward to Revelation chapter 5 one more time. Revelation chapter 5. They sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. I just want to tell you, folks, is anybody here glad that Jesus saved you? I mean, I'm grateful. Is anybody grateful to be saved? Really, honestly. Save me, take me, leave me. No. If it hasn't really sunk in, if you're not indebted to the Lord Jesus Christ for saving your soul, then you don't even know what I'm talking about. I was lost just like everybody else was lost, but he came in. How many know the Lord reached way down to save you and to save me? Only he, and the only way he did it was by taking his own life there on the cross. By your blood, you ransomed people for God, from every tribe, language, and people, and nation. It's powerful. It's a beautiful picture of the final outcome of the purposes of God in history. It's a big picture. And many times we have a smaller picture. We have a limited vision of what God's trying to do in our midst. It's God's design in all the history of the world that people from all nations come to worship him. You know, it's not just for you and for me to find forgiveness, go to church every week, have a wonderful life, enjoy a beautiful church, you know, have all the blessings of God. You know, I think that if you did that, if you take that and hide it and hoard it and harbor that in your heart and not give it back, I think it's robbery. I think it's thievery. How ungrateful would it be if we just took all the blessings of God in here and forgot about them out there? And what if it were you? What if it were me? What if somebody didn't share the gospel with me? What if I didn't get a chance to know the Lord? How many know he's gracious enough that if we fail at our job, he will succeed at his? Because God's not willing that any should perish. Amen? So God wants us all not to just have be better moms and daughters and sons and citizens, but he wants us all to know him and to do all that and miss the big picture is to miss what the purpose of missions is all about. You know, it's like a little bat boy at the Busch Stadium who thinks that the greatest point of the World Series is to hand the players a bat. I mean, the World Series, the greatest thing is just to hand a player a bat. I mean, that's a small part. It takes a team to win the World Series, right? Even the bat boy. It takes a whole team. It takes faith promise. You know, as a pastor, we get, I don't know how many calls, Miss Carol, you know, the folks in the office, we get calls all the time. Would you take me on? We live in Springfield, Missouri. How many know we are where the Assemblies of God World Missions Office is and all the entities that go along with it? We get inundated with calls. And yet we have a small budget at Oak Grove to add missionary after missionary after missionary. And it's hard, you know, that's why we do faith promise, in case you didn't understand. It's hard to take on missionary after missionary. They keep on coming. In fact, how many were there? 25 and 30 Thursday? We were U.S. missionaries. We interviewed me and Chrissy and Miss Carol and about 15 others, interviewed about 30 missionaries going into Chi Alpha and other places of ministry. And every year there's another crop and another crop and another crop. And the burden of your pastor is, how can we continue to add missionaries? It takes resources. Come on now. It takes resources. So we don't take for granted what we've done, but how many know there's more to do? And so I urge you in the name of the Lord to wake up and enlarge your heart, stretch your mind, spread your wings, mount up above the limited life we have, and see the great big picture of God's global mission and the purposes of world history. If we just keep going with God, how many know we cannot fail? There are three things that happen in missions. We pray, we go, and we give. And so maybe you say, Pastor, I have a hard time just paying my tithe. You know, I get it. And you're obeying God with your tithe, and just be blessed if that's not your gift and you don't understand all about missions. But if it ever gets below your fifth rib, how many know you would, it was Jim Elliot said, a man who gives all he can, right? You know, give to win the world for Jesus. He said, Pastor, how do we know what difference we're making? How can we measure that? We get stories back from missionaries all the time. And next week, you'll hear from missionary Brian Webb. He's actually bringing a delegation from Vanuatu, the islands of the sea, where David and Amy are going someday soon. They're getting ready. But he was already here when I was in Africa. And I said, you got to come back because my church told me you were awesome. Does anybody remember Brian Webb? He was awesome. Told you a story about cannibals. I thought, wow, my church is morbid. They love stories about cannibals. Well, the one son of the one man, I believe that right, huh, David? The son of the man who his father was a cannibal, or his grandfather was a cannibal in Vanuatu. He's going to be here at Oak Grove next Sunday. Okay? Hope they don't come hungry, right? All right? So I just want you to get this. I don't want to keep you long, but I do want to prepare you for next week. We have the privilege of having the superintendent of Vanuatu with us. The superintendent, the secretary of trade, seven of them, and they're going to greet you and talk to you about Vanuatu. Brian's going to do faith promise. We're going to raise some monies. And nobody's begging you. Understand, we don't beg. We just give you opportunity. You say, Pastor, it's all about money. No, you missed the whole big picture. It's not about money at all. It's about the Great Commission. Amen? And so I pray we see the world the way God sees it. And I pray we loose ourselves from our present situation. And maybe even more than you're just loose, being loose from your money. Maybe you're being loose from your job, your neighborhood, your nation, and you're called to engage in the great historic global purposes of God. We've already given. In fact, I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, if we keep giving all of our families away to missions, who's going to be here? And the Lord said, I can take care of my church, Ron. How many believe this church belongs to the Lord? And I appreciate those of you who stay here and hold the rope while the missionaries go down into the very pits of the places of the world that are dark and help us rescue the perishing. So I want to give you just a commendation to tell you how grateful I am that we are a sending nation. Not only from our own church, but we send missionaries around the world. We are Oak Grove. Amen. And then our last verse today is 2 Timothy 4:17. It's a great encouragement. It gives us a great incentive and a great hope to see what God is doing. 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17. At my first defense, Paul says, nobody came to stand by me, but all deserted me. Paul said, may it not be charged against them. Look at that. Everybody deserted me, Lord, but don't lay it against their charge. Don't hold it against them. But the Lord. How many say, would you say this with me? But the Lord. Come on, say it again. But the Lord. Everybody around me deserted me, but the Lord stood by me. And he strengthened me so that through me. Why did God strengthen the Apostle Paul? So that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. From the lion's mouth. Wow. I don't think every day we thank the Lord for being rescued from the lion's mouth. An old wicked Nero. What a wicked, wicked king, right? The Colosseum there in Rome. Paul's facing the end of his life. He's going into the Colosseum, and there are lions in the basement below the arena. And there are cracks in the wood of the lion cage where they drip blood down into the lion's cage. Where they entice the lions and they don't feed them, but they drip that blood down to make them so hungry. And then they grab the Christians. And so they grab the Christians in the New Testament church. They put them in the Colosseum. If you walk into my office, you'll see the last Christian's prayer, martyr's prayer. And you'll see them all gathered in a huddle. I call it a holy huddle. And they're all praying their last prayer. Because as soon as the latch is undone and they open up the latch, the lions come out and devour them. And yet Paul says that I'm rescued from the lion's mouth. So he really wasn't rescued at all. Right? They beheaded Paul. They ate the rest. The lions ate the Christians. Did you know that 300,000 born-again believers are martyred every year? Right now. Last year, 300,000. This year, 300,000. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying at all? Somebody's standing up for their faith. Somebody, you see it on TV. They sit on the kneel down on the beach and they cut their heads off in the name of Jesus for the cause of Christ. I just want you to see these four things. If you take notes at all, here it is. First of all, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. I mean, Paul's just saying, I didn't know. He promised all of his missionaries, said, I will be with you always. He promised me and he promised you, I will be with you always. When everybody else deserted you, I mean, the Lord's still standing with you. Oak Grove, when we are the minority church who still believes in missions, how many believe the Lord will stand with us to the end of the earth? When nobody else wants to, when they want to bow to Baal and bow to Astra and bow to the world, how many know we'll still be bowing our knee to King Jesus? When nobody else is standing with you, how many thinks the Lord will keep his promises and stay with us? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Hey, the Lord stood with, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He's saying, hey, the world's going to be wicked. It's going to get ugly. But don't try to retaliate to the world. Just point your eyes toward Jesus. Do like Stephen did when he was preaching and they got so mad at his preaching. He just looked at his eyes toward heaven and he said, I see Jesus. Stones are hitting him. He's being stoned to death. The first Christian martyr, Stephen, the deacon, being stoned to death. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. How many know that's a real vision because that's where Jesus is? Pastor, I didn't know where Jesus was. Listen, you don't know the Bible then. How many know the Bible says he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And what is he doing? He's making intercession and prayer for you and for everybody who has not heard. And I could just see, if you can just get the vision of the throne of God, Jesus stands up from the throne, looks over and says, that's my boy. Look at Stephen. Preaching it in the face of adversity. Look at Oak Grove. You don't have to have money. How many know you have to have faith? And I'm so thankful that we have never denied a missionary their support in 17 years. And maybe before that, Jack, and only those that would know that the records of our finances and missions prior to that. I don't recall, Jack, that we've ever denied a missionary the faith promises that we said. When we say we're going to do it, we do it. When a missionary gets taken on by Oak Grove, how many know they get what we tell them they're going to get? Why? Because you kept your promise. Because God kept his promise. Amen? And they go, we go around the world with them. Secondly, not only did the Lord stand with him, the Lord strengthened him. The creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe. Listen to what it says. All power and authority in heaven and earth, and even under the earth, Jesus said, belongs to me. And then he said, go, preach the gospel in all the earth, right? But before we went, he said, hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to be with you, and I'm the one that has all power, all authority. In my name, you could go, and I will be with you. It's kind of like going with your kindergartner to the first day of school. I remember going to kindergarten with your first grader kindergartner. Yeah, absolutely. They're scared to death. And they go to school and you're with them. And then you let them go in the class and you stand by the door. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you watch them. And teacher says, get out of here, mama. How many know God is like that? He's going to be there. And mama's on the playground waiting behind the tree for little Johnny to come out and see. The Lord is going to be there. And he stood with him and strengthened him. Thirdly, the strength was for proclamation of the gospel. There was a purpose, not just to be comfortable, not just to be secure. I talk to missionaries all the time. You know, and sometimes we think that they've got it made in the shade. But, you know, and we can get facetious and we get to be joking. They can't have Andy's anytime they want. And there's no Chick-fil-A. There's no drive-through anything. I know, because I ate chicken in Africa, and it wasn't KFC. It wasn't close to Popeyes. It was a chicken. But it wasn't prepared the way I thought it should have been prepared, but I ate it because I was starving. I wasn't starving. We say that, don't we? But there are missionaries who eat Milky Ways to survive. There are missionaries who are in the way back. They have to get their own groceries, to grow their own groceries. Some of them don't have the water they need. I'm not here to paint a sad story. I mean, no, they went in the name of the Lord, right? And the Lord was able to help them, stand by them, strengthen them, so they might preach the gospel and Jesus might be fully known. How many believe that if you're in a foreign culture and you're not having all the blessings of American culture, how many believe that you need to trust in Acts 1:8? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Hey, it actually applies for you and for me. How many think we need the Holy Ghost to go across the street to Walmart, much less across the ocean? And so the last thing Paul did, said, was a proclamation of the gospel. He said that he got this strength and spoke the gospel so that all the Gentiles might hear. God called him to the Gentiles, to the unreached people, the unreached people. And now there's a new category. Oak Grove, there's a new category in AGWM, and the Assemblies of God World Missions. There's a new category. Never reached. Never reached. In other words, some people had the opportunity, but they are unreached. You understand? They heard, but they didn't receive, so they're unreached. Now there's a group that was never reached. They never even heard. They never even heard about Jesus, which makes me want to give to missions. Melissa and I have been supporting missions since we got saved. It's a no-brainer for me. So you don't have to give next week in the faith promise. But whenever the boatloads of people or the busloads or the whatever, camel loads of people are unloaded at the gate in heaven, they will be attributed, the souls will be attributed to the Oak Grove Assembly of God. That's why we like faith promise. You know what I mean? Because we can do this together. It doesn't matter if you give a dollar a month. I mean, no, your dollar and somebody else's $100 is $101. Come on now. And together we can do it. We can do it. And so I just want to close, Chrissy, as you come back, every kindred, every tribe. You know, I don't know if you remember the old song. But God wants us to crown the Lord. Crown him Lord of all. So God's children are singing, hallelujah, he reigns. Paul's passion to the end. Spread the gospel. Even when Paul died, he prayed, oh Lord, let my dying magnify Christ among the peoples of the earth. Philippians 1, 20 and 21. That with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. What he's saying is, if I give my life for God, if I'm alive, I'm going to preach. If I'm alive, I'm going to preach. I'm going to give my life for the gospel. If I'm dead, my life is going to preach. And Nero, hey, nobody names their sons Nero. They name their dogs Nero. But they name their sons Paul. The chief of police, Paul. So let me know, in the last days, we need to get busy about the Lord's business. That was Paul's experience. Christ's faithfulness and nearness when he was in a bind. It's been the case for thousands of missionaries. Chrissy, plays softly. I have a couple of missionary stories. Would anybody like to hear a missionary story before we go home? The clock is broke. It's only 15 after. So I got my watch. It's only 15 after. Would you like to hear a story or two? Okay. Missionaries. John Patton from Scotland took the gospel to Vanuatu, which is going to be represented here next week. So I thought this was interesting. Within months, his wife and son died when he got to Vanuatu. But Patton spent the rest of his life until he was an old man planting the church on the islands. Paul, you know, experienced this in 2 Timothy. And he said, Lo, I'm with you always. This is where he was at the end of the earth. This is way back. And this is what he said. Precious promises. How often I adore you, Jesus, for the promises you give, and I rejoice in it. Blessed be your name. One time when Patton was surrounded by a mob seeking his life, he hid in a tree above them and spent a terrifying night in the tree. He wrote in a letter, yet I sat there among the branches as safe as I could be in the arms of Jesus. Never in all my sorrows did the Lord ever draw nearer to me and speak more soothingly into my soul. As I told all my heart to Jesus, I will not begrudge to spend many nights alone in such a tree, to feel again the Savior's spiritual presence, to enjoy his consoling fellowship. What Mr. Patton was saying was, they may be attacking me to where I have to spend the night in the tree all night long, but the Lord was so close to me and strengthened me in that tree, it was worth it all. Man, it's just too many stories to tell you. I'll give you one more and we'll go home. William Carey. How many ever heard of William Carey? Father of modern missions. If you took any missions classes, powerful. He left for India from England in 1793. He never came home. Never came home. He labored 40 years without a furlough. You know how our missionaries come in and raise funds to go back after 3-4 years? Never came home. He lost 2 wives in death. When he had a fever, they attached 110 leeches to his thigh. I don't know, Laura, what does that mean? Do leeches suck the fever out of you, I guess? I don't know, doctor. Anyway, that's what they did. Some kind of thing. On March 11th, 1812, after almost 20 years of hard work, a fire broke out, destroyed years of irreplaceable work. He drafted the great polyglot dictionary, right, in 2 different languages. 10 prints of the Bible that had been going through the press. the translation of the Ramayana, which he and his parents had worked on for 6 years, translation of the Bible into that language. And he was out of town in Calcutta, Kerry was. And when Marshman told him, tears filled his eyes, and he later said, "In one short evening, the labors of years are consumed." All those years. He spent 7 years in India before he had one convert. He said, "All those years of work, how unsearchable are the ways of God. I had lately brought some things to the utmost of perfection, of which they seemed capable, and contemplated the missionary establishment with perhaps too much self-congratulation. The Lord has laid me low that I may look more simply to Him." I don't know if you can say that after your life's work has been burned up. But in all of his losses, said the Lord stood with him. He never forsook him. Never could he have endured without the help of the Lord. Here's his watchword. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. In that order. So today in our altar, I want you to stand with me. We're going to give you two challenges. Two challenges. All over the building, please stand with me. We're going to ask you to do two things. Expect great things from God. And attempt great things for God. Why? Because, listen, no matter what you do for the Lord, how many believes He's going to do it with you? Some of you this week, maybe next week, will give money to missions. Some might pray more for our missionaries. Some of you might even give your life. We already had five or six families move into missions. Is there any more that would be willing to go? At Oak Grove, we don't call people and we don't send people. I mean, the call comes from the Lord and the sending is of the Lord. All we do is embrace people and support people as they go. And so, put your life in the hands of the Lord and trust Him to be there. It's time we get the salt shaker out. What good is a salt shaker if it doesn't have any salt in it? I wanted to give all of you those little bitty salt shakers today, but I didn't have enough. Little bitty Morton salt shakers, little bitty old thing. I wanted to stand at the door and give you all of you. So you can understand, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its saltiness, Pastor Pablo, if the salt loses it, it is not good for nothing but to be trampled on. If Oak Grove, if we ever lose our missionary zeal, will be nothing more than another country club, another social group, without our purpose. How many know without a vision, people perish? But when we come together in this missions convention, how many believe we can go over $150,000 next year for missions? Anybody believe that? Three of you? Come on. How many really believe we can do it? Over $150,000? We can do it. We can do it. And I can tell you now, I can tell you right now, I am not a fundraiser. I am a friend raiser. And if you trust this church to take on missionaries, if you trust your finances, we will reach in and take on missionaries.